give you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
What'd
you say?
Skipper, I had another second yesterday. Courtney, can you keep these two in line? That's your job. It's not so down here. You can pay attention over there.
I want to
show you. Courtney, let me take care of my flash over here. You take care of your flash, okay? Kind of a good responsibility.
Courtney, I figured out what was happening.
Okay, your committee will return to order. Gary.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bill Gary from the Attorney General's office. The suggestion that Representative Hill has made with respect to a solution to the problem that our bill, House Bill 2262, is intended to address is one that we have considered. We don't reject it outright because it does reach the same result that we want, which is to avoid the necessity of having to ask district attorneys to convene a grand jury on our behalf in the course of an investigation. The reason we elected subpoena power without a grand jury rather than giving us statewide grand jury power to convene a grand jury statewide is because of fiscal concerns. The district attorney's subpoena power right now is codified in ORS 136.563. That statute says that the district attorney may issue subpoenas in support of the prosecution or for such other witnesses as the grand jury directs. We read that statute to mean that the district attorney has the same power to issue subpoenas that we would have. The only difference is that his subpoenas must be issued in connection with a grand jury investigation that is ongoing. That is not a problem for the district attorney because the district attorney has a grand jury convened as a matter of course. And so the only thing that he must do and the only basis upon challenging it would be you're just out on a fishing expedition, you're not really planning to go to the grand jury with this evidence. That is the only protection that we see that 136.563 provides, that the grand jury subpoena bill that we have, I mean the subpoena power bill that we have, does not. The substitute for that is the power of, or the right of the defendant or individual whose information has been subpoenaed to ask the court to quash the subpoena. In that sense, it's comparable to the alternative parallel systems that we have for beginning charges. If you have a grand jury indictment, you go down one track, and the district attorney can proceed by information, but if he does that, there has to be a subsequent preliminary hearing where a judge determines that there is probable cause. So the reason that we've resisted the idea of, or haven't proposed the idea of having the legislature simply give us the power independent of a district attorney to convene a grand jury is because we don't think that it adds any greater protection for the person whose documents are subpoenaed, and at the same time it would add significantly to the expense. Having said that, I will say I just spoke with the Attorney General and his attitude, as you know, is that we're trying to address the problem here. We realize the committee is also, and if the committee is of the opinion that the cost savings that are of concern to us are of less significance than any added protection that may come, we will cooperate and consider giving us statewide grand jury authority as a substitute for the bill that has been previously passed by the committee.
Representative Lumber.
Would it at all be possible for you to piggyback on an existing grand jury within the respective counties?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it would take some looking at the statutes to see how matters get before the grand jury. They're written now so that the district attorney is the only person that can bring matters before the grand jury other than on the grand jury's own motion. And it may be that could be accomplished merely by...
I'm just thinking rather than, you know, setting up a mechanism whereby you have to convene a separate grand jury, depending on where you are in the state, where you're going, what have you, is there any constitutional impediments or statutory impediments to, you know, allowing you to piggyback on an existing grand jury? It's my impression, maybe I'm in error here, but it's my impression that probably in most counties, at almost any given time, you have a grand jury or a grand jury panel that's probably already convened or subject to call very, very quickly, don't you?
Certainly in any of the populous counties. East of the mountains, then you may have grand juries that are meeting once a month or something of that nature.
But how often do you go east of the mountains and investigations too?
That is not a major problem. And I think the answer to your question is there are no constitutional problems that I can see with the piggyback approach that you suggest. There would be statutory problems, but of course those can be taken care of by amendment of the statutes. I'm not sure though, Representative Lombard, how much of a task it would be to restructure the system so that we could do that. I just don't know the answer to that.
That's a question.
Mrs. Scavero?
Right now, is the Department of Justice giving the information to the local district attorney, and that district attorney is walking into the grand jury room with the grand jury? Or is the Department of Justice attorney walking in?
No, the way that we have proceeded in the past and our current practice is in circumstances where we have an ongoing criminal investigation, bearing in mind that our criminal jurisdiction, independent of the prosecutors, local prosecutors, is very limited. If we need information, either in the form of document production or witnesses, we will contact the district attorney. Most instances it would be Mr. Van Dyke because our investigations happen in Marion County, but in whatever county is appropriate, and ask that he cooperate with us to the extent of convening a special grand jury for the purpose of allowing us to issue subpoenas in connection with that investigation. There have been instances in the past, in the not too distant past, where we convened a grand jury for the purpose of getting documents, and that was the only real reason that we convened the grand jury. We weren't prepared to seek indictments at that point. We obtained the documents through grand jury subpoena, and then the grand jury was dissolved. And that's the practice that we've pursued ever since we obtained any kind of independent grand jury, independent criminal authority.
But who's walking into the grand jury rooms, the grand jury members?
Members of the Attorney General's staff, and it's done through a cooperative Bureau Special Assistant, Special District, Deputy District Attorney for purposes of dealing with this grand jury. To my knowledge, we have not had to rely upon personnel from the local district attorney's office in order to run the grand jury. It's done by deputization.
Okay, thank you.
President Courtney?
If you convene a grand jury, who's going to pay for it? This, Mr. Gary, this idea of going into Marion County, I understand where you come from, interests me. I want to know who's paying the bill and what's going on, or are we talking, I want to know that.
Well, Representative Courtney, I know what you're looking at. I don't know the answer to your question. I think in the past it was probably a county expense under court consolidation. I'm not so sure where we stand with respect to cost of grand jury convening. I don't know the answer, but I can find out for you. At least I can find out for you as to who paid in the past.
Well, do you know, Mr. Chair, who's going to pay for this? Are you going to give me a guarantee that it will not burden my county or one of my two counties? I'm not trying to be smart aleck, Mr. Chair. I want you to understand that we had discussed some matters here in terms of this.
Glad you clarified that.
Because I'm going to hear about it. That's all I want to know. If you know that it's going to be a state expense, then I'm all right. And I say that because, you know, we've had some moving targets with juvenile matters in terms of does the county pay or the state. You understand? You remember what I'm talking about here?
Oh, very well.
Right. Now, since... what I want to know is I'm getting confused here, and I look for you to give me direction, because you carried the bill on the floor recently in the court, and you know what you're talking about, so I would hope that we could have some clarification on this.
Yeah, it's my impression that the consolidation bill did not shift to the state the costs of, grand jurors get a per diem in mileage.
Same as any other juror, yeah. I believe.
I don't think the consolidation bill picked those up.
I don't believe they did, Mr. Chairman. I should point out, though...
Can I follow up question? Excuse me, Cut.
Yes.
I got to know, if you have a shotgun, if it comes down this way, that you've got to go see grand juries, if you're going to shotgun it, that's one thing around the state. But if you're going to move in, you know, paying Mr. Van Dyke and company or this county a lot of visits as a result, I'd like to know that. How would you do that? I'd like to know that, Mr. Curie.
Let me clarify. The process that I just described is the current procedure. And it isn't that we pick on Marion County or Mr. Van Dyke. It's that the bulk of our investigations involve official corruption. And the bulk of official corruption investigations center on the seat of government. That's why it happens in Marion County. That's current practice. If the bill that the committee previously approved goes out, that eliminates that need and therefore derivatively some expense to Marion County. On the other hand, if you pursue the alternative of giving us the independent authority to convene a grand jury on our own, that would be on the state's hook. It would be the AG's responsibility or the state's responsibility to pay for the cost of the grand jury that is independently convened by the Attorney General. So what we're asking is to relieve the local prosecutor as well as our office from the inconvenience and the expense involved in us cooperating with the local district attorney in order to get our subpoenas. Are you following my explanation?
No, but that's all right. You see, the original bill, you were going to relieve this area from some cost.
That's correct.
Now we're talking about amending the bill. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand that.
Now, what does that do?
As I understand the amendment and concept that Representative Hill is talking about, you would give the Attorney General the power to convene a grand jury on his own hook without needing the cooperation of a local prosecutor. That would be a state expense rather than a local expense. Now, Representative Lombard is talking about us using already sitting grand juries from the local from the local counties. If we're using grand juries that are already convened, then you're not talking about any appreciable additional expense because they're already sitting. It's just going into the grand jury that's already there.
Well, in composite, as I understand it, these proposals amount to this. One, if there is a convened grand jury sitting, for example, Lombard's concept would give you access to that grand jury without any involvement of the district attorney. You have direct access to that grand jury. Is that correct?
That was my thought, although mechanically, of course, it would involve.
If there were no grand jury convened, Representative Hill's portion of this concept would give you the authority to convene it directly. Now that would shift the cost then of the grand jury to, I don't know, would it be the Department of Justice's budget if the state has not otherwise assumed that cost in some way?
I presume it would be an expense to the Department of Justice. It may be in the state court administrator's budget, but it would be a state expense. And it's not budgeted for, so it would be kind of up to Ways and Means to figure out where they want to put that expense, I suppose.
Otherwise, under present procedure, that convening of the grand jury is technically under the auspices of the district attorney.
That's correct.
At the instigation of the district attorney, and those costs would be borne as they would in the case of any grand jury.
That's correct.
Which I believe would be locally.
And in Marion County.
One of the problems that I see with the piggyback proposal that Representative Lombard makes is this is fairly, there's not a lot of substance to it, but in terms of turf and the relations of our office with district attorneys, I'm a little bit hesitant to suggest that you give us the carte blanche, if you will, to go into any county in the state and use the district attorney's grand jury without his knowledge or permission or acquiescence. The current system we have is really, I think, would be what we would end up with anyway, because as a matter of comedy, we would be calling up the district attorney and asking him if he had any objection to us going before the grand jury. The only difference is we would have a hammer that we could use, but we would prefer not to have to use those kinds of devices. With respect to the idea of convening a grand jury ourselves, I just give you one example, and it's purely hypothetical. If we were conducting an investigation of allegations of official misconduct by throwing a Christmas party or something like that using government funds, and we needed to get documents. All we needed in order to do our investigation at this point, we were not contemplating any kind of criminal action, we were just doing our investigative function. If we needed to get the invoices to see how much money was spent, and the only way we could get them was by subpoenaing them, we would have to convene a grand jury for the sole purpose of that document production. And that's the added expense that concerns us. If I could, I'd like to throw one other possibility onto the table, and that is that this was discussed in subcommittee. Having the attorney general be authorized to go to a judge and ask the judge to issue the subpoena in the first instance. That, again, is not as preferable as the version of the bill that is presently before you. And I'm not sure, as between that one and the attorney general's authority to convene the grand jury, which we prefer, but I think having the judge issue the subpoena would affect significant cost savings over convening the grand jury.
Well, I think these various options probably ought to be sorted out a bit further before we try to bring full committee action. Unless the committee is ready to act, it seems to me there's a need probably to assess these alternatives further, like what's happened and said so far.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bill.
Bill, I'm sorry. Other than the statutory scheme that's before us, which do you prefer? Would the Attorney General prefer?
I hesitate to make a choice between your proposal and the prior judicial review. I will tell you, a draft amendment which is in working form that provides for prior judicial approval of the subpoena, and I will make that available to the committee if you prefer, but I would like to have the opportunity to go back to the Attorney General and let us sort through the now four different proposals that are on the table and make an election as to which we prefer. Obviously, our first choice is the one that you approved earlier this afternoon.
Well, I think, too, that any proposal which would adjust the authority of district attorneys with respect to grand juries, whether it's in terms of an independent convening power by the Attorney General or a piggyback kind of concept, we ought to hear from the district attorneys on it also. That's not to exclude others, ACLU or the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, who may wish to comment on specific alternatives. I'm thinking now of the governmental actors who are impacted by these structural changes that are being discussed.
We would undoubtedly consult with the district attorneys before we came forward with any proposal such as that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for a second, not holding things up, if the committee's pleasure is still to proceed as we have proceeded, we've had this discussion. I guess I've given my views. I just have, in criminal matters, it's just difficult for me to see how the AG should be treated differently from the district attorneys. But if I don't want to hold up the committee's work. I mean, they've acted already, and if the rest of the committee still wants to continue with that act, I would just go ahead with that action. I would go ahead with the minority report now that we've aired it.
Well, let me react to that this way. So, you know, first of all, naturally, I would like, to the greatest extent possible, to have this of all committees not confronting the members with divided opinions on important structural issues. And I say that not out of a sense of tidiness about the process, but just because I think it is more confusing politically for the members to have this committee divided on key issues than perhaps any other committee. Day in and day out. So, secondly, though, as a practical matter, as a supporter and president of the majority version that was reported out, I'm not sure I'm yet prepared to get up and tell the members emphatically that I think the alternative you've posed is necessarily less desirable than the majority position. I'm not sure I've heard that out enough yet. And it may well be that in consideration of the options that have been laid out, perhaps the committee as a whole will come to a different resolution of how they would like to proceed. The other option, of course, is that we stay right where we are now, which after we sort through everything, again, we may decide to do, though I think there's sin on the committee for trying to respond to the points raised.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the reason going the minority report way instead of getting up and trying to defeat the bill is because I agree that the Attorney General should have this, should be able to accomplish this, but not in this way.
Well, what we have, Representative Hill, I think, is we have 8 or 9, perhaps, members of the committee who agree that they wish to give the Attorney General some greater flexibility with respect to subpoenas, but a division on the question of how best to get there.
Yes.
And I think a sense on the part of some of us that before we argue out, if there's going to be more than one option on the floor before the members, I think I'd like to have the committee sift through those options a bit more in detail.
Thank you.
You might, I assume we'll be reviewing the different concepts again with the Attorney General, and we'll be back in touch with you about your position, and we'd like to know, of course, what the district attorneys think. If you're going to be speaking for them, otherwise we'll be expecting them to be here with you.
Mr. Chairman, the district attorney's legislative committee is slated to meet a week from tomorrow. We will have a proposal for them at that time, and hopefully by the following day, a united front to present to you on this issue. We will make an effort to resolve the problem in a way that makes it possible for you to present the unity to the floor.
Okay.
I was just kind of sort of hoping that you'll also share it with the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association Public Defender's Office prior to coming into the meeting, so that they will...
Mr. Kinnings has been the point person on their side and will be in contact.